Amen. I greet you this morning in the name of Jesus, which we talked already about a lot, that precious name that gives us the victory and helps us to be more than conquerors. Wow. What a rich time of worship this morning and just praising our God. I hope we all came with a heart to rejoice. There's things in our life, yes, that we would love to see differently, but we do have a very good reason to rejoice this morning, don't we? Thank you, Austin, for sharing those thoughts. It's amazing when you lay the Old Testament open, how much that gives a picture of where we are today. What a blessing to be living under the new covenant where there's victory and Jesus has given his life for us. Hallelujah. I want to share with you, turn with me to John 16 this morning. We'll be spending most of our time and looking at the chapter of John 16. Then we're going to go over to some of 15 and also a little bit of 14. But this morning I want to share with you why it was important for Jesus to go away. Also, I want to ask you to pray. I have felt it on for a while already that I need to learn more from my own life on how it is and what it means to walk my life out under the power of the Holy Spirit. I feel like I need to study it. I feel like I need to go there. I feel like I need to teach it. And so I just ask you to pray as we go through the rest of the year here. I don't know how long it'll be, but the first message I want to preach is the importance of Jesus going away. And we see that in chapter 16 here. So why was it important for Jesus to go away to the Father and sit at his right hand? We'll look at that together. Unless Jesus did what he came to do, if he wouldn't have went away, there would be no gospel to preach. There would be no victory. He could not have removed our sins. And he rose to defeat death. Like we heard already this morning, I appreciated that thought of that we already have won when we're in Christ. And so we're going to go into this. And also we recognized as Jesus was here, there was only a certain amount of people that could be with him at any given time. He was limited to a place. So just picture it with me this morning of what would happen if this were the only place that Jesus was meeting today in all of the world. Imagine how many people would be here. And that's how it looked in the synagogue sometimes, I think, where wherever Jesus was gathered, that's where the people of God were. That's where those that were hungry and thirsty for righteousness, that's where they gathered. And so if Jesus would not have gone away to heaven, we would still be at that same place where we'd have to gather ourselves together where Jesus was to see and receive the life of Christ. But through him leaving, he said he's going to send someone else, and that's the Holy Spirit. Isn't that beautiful? Now all men across the world can receive at any given time, 24/7. Who would have thought of something like that? And I just praise God this morning. He had such a great plan for us, which we're walking in that today, and I just desire for myself to know that, to know how to walk in that in a greater way. So in John 16, Jesus explained the benefits of his departure. The first one is in John 16, 7 to 15. We're going to start there, and we see the provision of the Holy Spirit. That's one of the benefits of his going away. So 7 to 15, we're going to break right in the verse there, and then we'll come back around later on and tie that all together with the first part of that verse. But he says, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he shall show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine, and therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. So here we see a beautiful picture of God, his great plan, Jesus sharing it with his disciples, and trying to explain to them, it's important that I leave you. Now picture this with me. Here's his disciples. They've been used to sitting under his teaching and just enjoying this time. And why would their master, their Lord, say, it's important that I go away from you? Can you imagine the thoughts that start crossing their mind? Picture with me today, if God would, how would that feel today if God would draw his Holy Spirit from you, or Christ back away from you? Can you imagine the thoughts that were going through their mind? But he said, it's important that I go away. It's expedient. It's necessary. And then he says, why? For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you unless I depart. And so the disciples, their mind was probably racing, because on the backside, the Romans, they hated him because would they disturb the peace. The Jewish leaders hated them because they thought they were blasphemous. And so they're misfits in society. And so here their master is telling them, it's important that I go away. And they could not understand this. We see that later on. They started asking questions. And then toward the end of the chapter, you'll see when he really goes into detail what he's doing, they finally said, we believe that you're the Son of God. And so here we are. Little did they know, if Jesus did not leave, they will never be able to experience the life of Christ that was right before their eyes. A fuller measure of the life of Christ that was right before their eyes. And if Jesus didn't go back to the Father, the Holy Spirit wouldn't come. And we sang about that this morning, is through his death and resurrection and his ascending to heaven, there is now an open heaven to us. And we can come right into the Holy of Holies when we're clean, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. But now it made it possible for the whole world to know Christ and to receive his Holy Spirit. Verse 8 to 11, we see that there was a reproof. He came to reprove sin, to convince or convict. And Jesus going away made it possible for us to be convicted of that sin. And so we walk in righteousness. Verse 10. Knowing what is right and what is wrong, and trusting in God's Holy Spirit to lead us. And so we walk in righteousness. And that is verse 10. The prince of the world is Satan. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. And so we see that. We heard that this morning, of constantly Satan tries to take us out. But with Christ, there is an avenue. And I think sometimes he may even try to take us out just by some extreme tests, intensity in our lives, where we're not sure how to get through. And then he comes in at a weak moment and tries to take us out. And that's where we need to cry out to God and just trust him and by faith go on with him. Ask God for the power of his Holy Spirit to work in our lives in those times when we get to a low point. The prince of this world will be judged. Part of the righteousness of God is the believer's testimony to the unbeliever. I want to just read. You don't have to turn there, but I will just read. Well, it's just back a little bit. John 15, 26 and 27 says, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me." This is Jesus talking about the Holy Spirit. "And he shall, and ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning." So he's teaching them, you're going to be my witnesses. You're going to be a testimony to those who don't yet know me. And God is going to speak through you through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will speak to you and give you power to be witnesses. So Jesus made it possible for us to be convicted of sin so we walk in righteousness and to judge those who will walk with Satan and share with him. It's sometimes hard to grasp that we are a mouthpiece for God. And God is looking at us. Jesus is looking at us. Sitting at the right hand of the Father, he went home and he's sitting at the right hand of the Father. And he's looking at us, you, all of us, to be a mouthpiece for him. And he says we will be his witnesses. He's looking to the believers that are in Christ to bring more to Christ. And praise God, when it becomes very difficult to witness when you have sin in your own heart. But through the Holy Spirit, God can convict us of that sin. We can come to the cross, repent, and be a pure testimony of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We will bear witness of Christ. We will be his mouthpiece. All right, going on to 12. There he says, Christ glorifying himself through the Holy Spirit working through our lives. You see that, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, that is part of his name, the Holy Spirit, that is part of his name. He will guide you into all truth, and he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. So we see the provision there. Tremendous provision. And it goes back to where Jesus said, it's expedient, it's important, it's very imperative that I go away from you so that I can send a comforter, that the comforter will come to you. So we go on there in 16 to 24. The second benefit there is the potential of a full joy. The potential of a full joy. So verse 16, a little while and ye shall not see me, and again a little while and ye shall see me because I go to the Father. Then said some of the disciples among themselves, what is this that he saith unto us? A little while and ye shall not see me, and again a little while and ye shall see me. They could not understand what he was trying to say. It just did not make sense. They were just walk with him every day. They walked with him in the cities and talking to people and being taught. And so they could not understand what he was trying to say. He says, because I go to the Father. Then said they, therefore, what is this that he saith? A little while. We cannot tell what he saith. They didn't understand. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, do ye inquire among yourselves of that I said a little while, and ye see not, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me. Verily, verily, I say unto you, here he goes into explaining who they're going to be. Verily, verily, I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful. But your sorrow shall be turned into joy. So here they couldn't understand. In verse 17, we see the difference between the disciples and the others. The disciples could not understand what he means by a little while, but he goes on to say that basically what I'm seeing here is he's explaining the world's values versus his values. And the picture here, or the setting here, was this was only hours away from Jesus' death. He was teaching his final things to the disciples in goes on into 17 there where he prays for them. But here he's explaining the world's values and their values. He says, a woman when she is in travail has sorrow because her hour is come, but as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for the joy that a man is born into the world. Wow. So here they're going to be weeping. The others are going to be rejoicing. They're going to be sorrowful. The others are going to be rejoicing. The world is going to rejoice, he's saying. And then he says, I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice. And verse 23 and 24, he says, in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. This is where we are today. We are experiencing exactly what Christ is teaching us in this chapter. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive. Why? That your joy may be full. It doesn't necessarily say that we're going to have it easy. He just explained that. There may be times where we press in and go through. And he's talking mainly about the death and resurrection to these disciples. However, I take it and apply it to our lives and say there may not always be joy on the outward. But later we'll see there's just peace within. It's stormy out there, but there is peace within. That your joy may be full. A new relationship between the new believer and God. The joy of his fullness. In verse 25 and 28, we see the possibility of a fuller knowledge. Look what he teaches here. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs. Now, Proverbs would be, my Bible says, in a figurative language. But the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. Oh, hallelujah. I'm sure they had a hard time grasping this of how this is actually going to be. How can it get much better than Christ being right here in our midst and just teaching us day to day? At that day you shall ask in my name, and I say unto you that I will pray the Father for you. We'll go on into 27, 28. For the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved him and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father, and I am come into the world again. I leave the world and go to the Father. He's still teaching why it's important that he's to leave. But Jesus, for all this to happen, Jesus had to go away first. And so we see he's showing them plainly. He's explaining to them, this is why I'm leaving. In verse 26, So we can boldly pray in the name of Jesus. At that day you shall ask in my name, the name of Jesus, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. He's going to go there on our behalf as we pray. So we can boldly pray that God would help us. And we can intercede for others around us. And he's just going to go, Father, listen, Elmer has a need here. Justin has a need here. There's some needs here, Father. Can you help them? He's making an appeal for us. And he's asking God. And so we see the importance of why it was important for him to go. Through Jesus' death and resurrection, forgiveness of sins, now Jesus intercedes for all believers at the right hand of the Father. And you know, we don't need a high priest anymore. That's when they used to go, they had the high priest, and they used to go in there, and he would go into the Holy of Holies on their behalf. And hopefully, they could be forgiven for their sin. But now he is our high priest. Jesus is our high priest. And we can go right into the Holy of Holies and intercede for others. Verse 27 and 28, we can imagine the Son of God, Jesus, hearing from the Holy Spirit is how we believe that he does today. And just to make it clear, we have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They are in unison, the three of them, and they each have a part to play. God the Creator, Jesus the Son, our salvation, our Savior, and the Holy Spirit, our helper, our comforter, and they work together. And so we cry out, and Jesus hears our prayer. And then, yes, he makes an appeal to the Father. He makes an appeal to the Father and says, can you help this person? Hebrews 7:25 says, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Isn't that beautiful this morning? He intercedes for us. As we were praying this morning, I thought of that. As we're praying, there's things happening for Josiah and Seth and all those we prayed for this morning, and probably others that we'll pray for yet today. He hears that, and he immediately goes to work. The fourth point here I want to bring out, why it was important for him to leave, was in verses 29 to 33, we see the privilege of peace. Having that privilege of peace. Jesus had to believe for the Holy Spirit to be poured out and bring peace, the Comforter. Verse 29, his disciples said unto him, lo, now speakest thou plainly. Now they understood, and speaketh no proverb. Now we are sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. You know, I think we find ourselves right here where they were at the end of 30. He said, this we believe, that thou camest forth from God. How many times do we come to a place where we say, you know what, I believe as much as I know. I have faith in God. And it would be unreasonable for us to say, I have more faith than you. But this morning, I know I can believe God as much as I know about him. And that's where my faith lies. And so it's extremely important for me to get to know the Father in a greater way so I can have a greater faith. And so as we're sanctified and as we pour ourselves out to God, his Holy Spirit fills us and gives us a greater faith. What I was almost not able to handle 10 years ago, I say this carefully. Yeah, I can say this with confidence. What I used to struggle with, today I don't struggle with that anymore. He helped me to overcome. That is just purely the work of the Holy Spirit. What I used to struggle with back there, a very real struggle, to the point of asking a brother to pray for me because I can't overcome, I don't struggle with that today anymore. Because God filled that part. Now there's a greater faith. All of you are there this morning. And that's the beauty. As we give ourselves, God just draws us closer, closer, and closer. And then we will be a greater witness. And the unbelievers will come to Christ in a powerful way. The privilege of peace. Now speaketh thou plainly. Now we are sure that thou knowest all things. I did read that. And so, then Jesus answered them, do ye now believe? Then he goes on and teaches even more and stretches them again. Behold, the hour is come. Yea, I know, is now come that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own. Oh, what a challenge. What a challenge that was to them, I'm sure. He says, you're going to be scattered and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone because the Father is with me. He's teaching this under the context of it's been important that I go away. This is why I need to go away from you. Their understanding was enough, and so their faith was increased. So in verse 31, do we believe? The more we place our trust in Jesus, the more we receive. And the more we receive, the more we accomplish for his glory. And so we always live out what we believe. It's just, that truth never ceases to amaze me. I truly live my life for God to the point of what I believe. And so when I say I believe, that's what I live. And so we encourage each other to go further. And we encourage each other to pray for each other. And so that God would take us on and take us deeper. Verse 32 and 33. He says, you're going to be scattered. You're going to be persecuted. And so this morning, they were going to be scattered physically. They were going to be scattered physically. We see that later on in the New Testament. Through Acts, we read about those accounts. After the Holy Spirit was poured out on his people and they were scattered. But this morning, how many times do we find ourselves, our mind just, we're scattered. We can't quite get it together. But I want to encourage us this morning, look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith, of our faith. After we get scattered, the point is not we can never get scattered. The point is when we do get scattered, just look unto Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith. And he will help us. He'll bring peace into our hearts. We're looking at the privilege of having peace in our lives. And in verse 33, we see Jesus as our peace. Oh, I love this verse. There's parts of me that doesn't, and I could never excuse it because it's in the Word of God. But this morning, there's a powerful truth in here. And I can say I love it. He says, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. He says, I have overcome the world. In my mind, I'm thinking, I may be wrong here, but there may be two parts in here. The world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. But then there's also a world that we live in. There's going to be tribulation. There's going to be trials. There's going to be distress around us. There's going to be storms. There's going to be times of pressure that we're going to experience, and maybe are already. There's going to be times where God puts a faithful servant into a situation where there's extreme and intense pressure. But you know what? He forged that heart for that moment. Through the work of the Holy Spirit, He forged that heart and made that heart soft and pliable. And He knows when I put that person into the midst of that storm, he's going to be faithful. She's going to be faithful. She's going to rule the house well when things are out of order. And God's going to help that person, fighting the good fight of faith. So there's going to be distress. There's going to be those hours when things look like they're falling apart. And we'll see that pressure. And I'm trying to encourage us this morning, even in our pressure and our affliction and those things, we can trust God. And we've seen in our own lives, we can be faithful in those things. And just maybe God will heal that. Let's say it's a physical thing. We can ask. He says, ask. And we've seen that in our own family, where God just reached in and touched it and healed it. But we've also seen that God wanted to take us through something. And the easiest thing to do at that time is to take a path out around and say, this isn't worth it. Right here in the center of Christ, that's where God wants us. And sometimes it's like the Israelites. They could have had an easy journey right into the land of Canaan. But they weren't faithful. And God said, I'm going to take you through some things that will teach you to trust me. And so sometimes God uses those things so we trust him more. But you know what? As we trust him, there's just a peace. There's a peace there, the peace of Jesus. The Holy Spirit comes in and says, this is right. You just keep walking. You just trust God. And you just allow him to work through your life. And I'll make you a testimony. I look at the disciples later on, and just all these questions they had, and you could think it was such a waste that they all gave their life. But look how many people got saved. May that be our testimony. I'm not saying we're going to be killed for our faith. All I'm saying this morning is, let's be encouraged when we get into those tight situations where there's extreme pressure to the point where I can't hardly take it anymore. I need help. I need help from God's Holy Spirit. We're talking about peace, having the privilege of peace. And he said, the world's going to hate you, but in me is life. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I have overcome. I'm going to go back to John 16. And we're going to look at verses 1 to 6. And then we're going to go on back to John 14, verses 27 to 29. And this is in the light of that last verse there, where there's going to be tribulation. But what a contrast he's given there. there's going to be tribulation. He's saying, be of good cheer. Verse 16, chapter 16, verses 1 to 6, he starts to tie this all together. He says, these things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. And these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. This is going to happen, guys. This is, just make sure you look to me. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning because I was with you. And now I go my way to him that sent me. And none of you ask us, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled my heart. And now we're going to draw from this in verse 7. Nevertheless, he's starting to tie it all together. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. And then he goes on to say that it's important for him to go away. Right after he tells them that they're going to put them out of the synagogues, those who kill you think they're doing a service to God. And I look at how much of this in certain religions today, how much of this is true today. It is just amazing how the Word of God is a real life experience. As we look at it, when we see the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, and we're a part of it, how much of the Word of God is a real life experience today. And so we go back to John 14, verses 27 and 29. He goes on there to say more. Oh, hallelujah. The verse before that, he talks about sending the Comforter, the Holy Ghost. And then he says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. Picture this with me. They're living in the world yet. But he says, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye love me, ye would rejoice. And because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it come to pass, ye might believe. Love how he ties this together. These 14, 15, 16, and 17, Jesus has a tremendous, tremendous message for us. And what an encouragement to look at that this morning with each other and to see that the peace of Christ, even though we can be in the midst of these, he's saying, my peace I give to you. Not as the world giveth, but what I give unto you. And he says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And so in the midst of that struggle or that test or that pressure or that time where I don't know what to do, I don't have answers, there's nothing in me that can give to the situation. Then at that moment, Jesus reaches over and says, Father, there's a need here. He needs help. She needs help. And he makes an appeal. And he intercedes for us. And he, through the power of the Holy Spirit, one day we're going to understand all this. I don't understand it this morning. How does it work? Two beings in heaven, three rather, we get victory. The Holy Spirit comes and touches us because Jesus went on our behalf. Isn't that encouraging this morning? That should give us peace this morning. So we see the importance of the things that Jesus was talking about in his going away. One of the greatest things I think we can experience is, in the midst of a struggle, peace. That has to be one of the greatest things. And so Jesus ties this all together and he says, I have overcome. So looking unto Jesus, because he left his disciples, he left, he ascended, he's up in heaven, and now he's just waiting for the order from God to come back and gather us in. But what about the meantime? What about in the meantime, until that happens, what is our duty? There's just one element I see this morning is, let's trust in God. Let's have faith. Let's believe him that he'll convict me when something is in my heart and I pray to him and the Holy Spirit shows something to me, maybe just a little thing, it just keeps coming up. Oh, I didn't think about that for a while. Maybe I should take care of that. Maybe I should go talk to a brother. Maybe I should go talk to a sister. I remember when I was, after I got born again, I couldn't hardly keep up with the things that God was showing me. And it had to do with things in my own heart. It had to do with things that were monetary. There were things that God showed me that I was dishonest, and I had to go make those things right. There was words that I had spoken that God reminded me. And I thank God that he's still doing it today. I thank God that every morning I can get up and his mercy is new again. I can come before him and I can say, I'm sorry. Or I can go make something right when something is on my heart. And so let's be encouraged this morning. I just want to wrap this up here. We see the importance of Jesus going away. And the different points we saw was the provision of the Holy Spirit and the potential of full joy, the possibility of a fuller knowledge, and the privilege to have peace in my heart. Let's believe God. Let's believe Christ to do greater things, to a greater measure in our lives as we trust in him. May God bless you.